The only thing is, the Lord is watching the heart, and he's listening to you. He can hear you. It's the case that I don't get to hear you, okay? And remember what I just said. There are times when I don't speak for various reasons. And sometimes, you know, if you ever look at that passage in Corinthians where it says women should not speak in the church, let's go to that. I haven't got into the Word of God yet. Let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 11. No, 14. 1 Corinthians 14. It doesn't just jump into the idea of women not speaking. What does it say? You go down to verse 27, 1 Corinthians 14, 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three. What about all the other guys that want to speak in tongues? Two or three. Okay, so they're silent. And on top of that, verse 28, if there is no interpreter, he must remain silent. Okay, so already we've set down there are certain people in this meeting that cannot speak. Okay, if we go on, verse 29, if there are two or three prophets, let them speak, and the others pass judgment. There's more prophets than that in that meeting, two or three to speak. And then what does it say? If a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. So here again, there is silence by individuals in the church. And so then eventually you get down here to verse 34. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to. And it's, you know, you have to have some discernment. And you should have discernment even when you are using the songs that you do. Now, some song books, we're familiar, several of us, with what we call the black book. I just love this. There's black and red and blue and green. but there's a lot of good songs in there that spend their time thinking about the Lord, talking about the Lord. And the thing is, in preparation, is get a hymnal, buy a hymnal. For a lot of years, I've gotten so that it got packed away with my other things when I moved, and I haven't unpacked it. And in the meeting, we're frequently in, they use a different hymnal now. But buy a hymnal, and then sit down and go through it. Part of your devotions can be reading through a song. Okay, well, just pick the one that's fell open to, Fanny Crosby. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, everything about just taking that hymn and thinking about those words in your devotions. Now, if you pick one, and I can't find it, I didn't look it up ahead of time, you pick one that is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, and you can meditate upon him. And sometimes in these hymnals, you will find a word that you don't know. Look it up. And then you probably can, you ever hear the trysting place? Anybody know what a tryst is? Somebody told me recently, it's a lover's lane. Do you remember that? There's a hymn that talks about the trysting place. I think that's right. I did hear that just recently. Yeah, okay. So, not everybody in your meeting is going to know what that means. Stand up and explain what trysting is before you give out the song, okay? Some of those preparations we can do ahead of time. So those are some things we can do. Prepare ahead of time. The idea there is prepare ahead of time. Now, what about the meeting itself? Well, the first one I would say is arrive on time. Try to get there on time. Americans have this thing that we think we can walk in late and it's acceptable. You know, if I were to have a meeting with you, say, Bob, I would like to have coffee with you at 10 o'clock. Be there at 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, I'm the old military guy. Be there on time. On time is late. Yeah.
You said American.
Well, there are others that have their own habits too, but you know, all of us are Americans, and so let's pick on the Americans. There are others that have. Yeah, but our standard is we really ought to be on time. So make plans for it. It took me years and years. I don't know if I figured it out before my kids got gone. But so I would just pass on wisdom to you. You know, I'm a person that I would like to be there on time. I didn't want to be early and I didn't want to be late. Okay, a little bit of my military training. So I'm always trying to be there on time, you know, and it's great. It's going to take us 40 minutes to get there. We're going to leave at 20 till, and we're going to get there on time. And guess what? Some kid needed his shoe tied, and I'm late. The thing is, it happens every week. You know, I thought, oh, that's an aberration. That won't happen again. No, it didn't happen again. Next time I had to blow his nose. Next time, you know, it didn't matter what it was. Something would make me late. It took a long time to figure out. You just got to plan ahead. Figure out, leave, and plan to get there early so that when you're late, you're still early and on time. Now, what is the advantage of doing it? Well, let me put it this way. You ever go to a wedding? Ever been to a wedding where they shut the door when the bride goes down the aisle? If you're late to that wedding, you don't get in. Now, we're meeting with the Lord of the universe. What are we doing going late? There are places, we've been in places where when the meeting starts, they lock the doors. Usually for safety reason. It's not because they're trying to keep people out. But for safety, they lock the doors. What are you going to do if you show up late? Ding, 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 ding. Let me in too. Get there on time. And the other thing I've found is that you get there on time, you get to greet people. Or if you get there a little bit ahead, you know. We have this where we live across the street, so we really don't have an excuse for being late. And so, you know, if I can get there 10 minutes early, 5 minutes early, I get to greet the five people that are there. You know, everybody else walks in on the hour. But you get a chance to greet them. Say, hey, how you doing this week? Yes, sir. That's true. The further away you live, the more likely you are to be on time. And that is true. And but I've known, we had one couple in one meeting we were in. They were consistently 20 minutes late. I mean consistent. Every week they're 20 minutes late. And what happens when you are late? Number one, it distracts everybody, okay? So it's rude. Rude. Now, what else happens? That's right. You get there and you say, I wonder what the other hymns that have been given out are. Or what did that guy say? Where are we at? Where is the thinking that we're going on? And so when you walk in late, you're at a loss. You're at a loss for, you know, half the meeting. Except for the hymn. You have no idea what that first hymn was. And so, get there on time. Now, what did the early church talk about? Hopefully you're still in 14. What does it say they talked about in verse 26? It says, when you assemble, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So there's several things going on there. Those are things that are going on. And I like to look at it as having a conversation. New theory here. We're having a conversation there. Think about that. As you walk into a conversation, I kind of say that because every once in a while somebody says, oh, there's this theme to the meeting. And so then young people sit there and say, oh, I wonder what the theme is. I can't figure out the theme. How am I going to say something in the theme? Look at it like a conversation. If, let's say Danny and I are over here having a conversation about what's going on with their children in, I know you probably homeschool, but let's say in school, all right? We're having this nice conversation. You come bouncing up, want to talk about the Friday night football game. What does that do to the conversation? You know, it doesn't fit, does it? The idea with a conversation is, but it leads from one thing to the next. I may talk about their children, you know, and then maybe we'll do something, well, how are your children getting along spiritually? Well, you know, and then that'll lead to, well, what have I been reading myself? And, you know, the conversations proceed. We want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talk about some aspect of him, and that leads us to, reminds us of this, and we add something to the conversation and add to the conversation. And so that's how it goes together, working together as a conversation. And so one of the things I'd say is try to stay on the subject. And don't just, the problem comes when someone, and you've probably been in a meeting, someone picks a hymn. It's their favorite hymn. It has nothing to do with the conversation going on. It's just their favorite hymn. Yes, sir. True. Good illustration. If you treat the meeting like you treat your job, or put it the other way around, if you treat your job like you treat the meeting, would you still be employed? Yes.
I think if you get away with being late to your job, you would.
Well, you at least would have an excuse. Yeah. If you didn't get fired, you'd be late every day. Firing people, okay. Yeah, it's just awful hard. So we have to take it on ourselves to do that. We can't force it from above. We don't set down the laws. We just say, this is what you should do. And one more comment on those who get up and share as men. This is not a teaching time. Granted, I can learn something, but it's not a teaching time. And don't teach in your prayers either. We'll come back to that one when we get to prayer. And I would say another thing is to consider others as you share in the meeting. Consider others. What do I mean by that? Well, the idea is have respect for others. See, sometimes men get up and they just talk and talk and talk. I mean, there are some who will talk for 10 or 15 minutes. Now, this is an hour meeting, and the last 15, 20 minutes is going to be passing the elements, and so what's left for anybody else? That's inconsiderate, I would say. And so we need to be considerate of that. The other one is allowing time for the young one. You know, to me, we're always trying to encourage young people to get involved. If you fill all that time because you're on your feet, you're an older person on their feet, because you just love the Lord. And I understand that idea. You just love the Lord. But give somebody else time to get in. Sometimes, you know, there's got to be some silence. I'm not talking about dead silences that are just dead. I'm talking about give somebody enough time to get on their feet. You know, the Holy Spirit's got to poke them. And sometimes they're not paying attention. I know I don't pay attention when the Spirit pokes me. I'm sure it occurs to them. He's got to poke them a few times. Oh, yeah, I really should be on my feet. You know, I'm trying to organize my thoughts, and somebody else stands up. Give them time and help them think about others. And the other thing about thinking about others is to speak up. Sometimes if you are sitting in the front in particular, you may need to turn around so that other people can hear talk. Remember, not everybody can hear at the same rate you can. Us older people can't hear as well. And we had in one of our meetings we were in, you know, the little old ladies would say, oh, I can't hear the preacher very well. You need to get in a sound system. We say, well, get out of the back row and get a little closer to the front. But they wouldn't do that. So stand up and speak. And the same thing if you're praying. Pray loud enough everybody can hear. Remember, Paul tells us, you are to say amen to some of these things, then they got to be loud enough that they know when and why they're saying amen. So think about that. Consider others. And then there's these little things of, you need to learn in your own assembly. How do you handle things? Like somebody stands up and gives out a hymn. Nobody knows the tune. What are you going to do?
Read it.
Yep, that's what you do. Somebody has to suggest that, though. You know, somebody, typically an elder, has got enough sense to say, hey, brother, would you read that? Or in our assembly, we enjoyed singing a cappella, but we would hit this, we don't know this. So they would just gently say, Sister Sue, would you go to the piano and play that for us? And then as soon as we're done, she sits back down, we go back to a cappella. Okay, there are various ways around that. What do you do with that? Another thing is to figure out how is a good way to distribute the bread in the cup. Who's going to do it? I've been in places where the person that prays does. Tell you what, as a traveler, I never pray for the bread or the cup, okay? Because I don't know the custom of that place. You know, I may stand up and pray and sit down and, you know, what do we do? Because that was supposed to be my job, and I didn't know that, you know. And sometimes that's intimidating to young people. So think about that in your own meetings. How do we do that? Do we say, okay, how about you as a young person do it this month? You know, we can do that to get them encouraged, get them into it. Somebody else will pray for it. So think about how to do that. All right. And for young people. I don't know, and it doesn't necessarily mean young people, because I've done it with older people that are not participating. Encourage them. Start with a hymn. Doesn't take much. Probably at the most, you got to give out three numbers. Can you say three numbers? Can you say it twice? 346. Okay, we got it. We'll sing 346. That's simple. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little gumption to do that. And then encourage them to go on. I did that to an older fellow one time. I said, you know, you never say anything. You know, why don't you start trying to give out a hymn? So he'd give out a hymn. The only trouble was he never progressed beyond that. Okay. Progress beyond that. Next, to me, the next easiest is to encourage them to read a passage of Scripture. Stand up and say, let me read to you. Maybe it's a psalm. Let me read to you this passage. And sit down. You don't have to be like us old men and expound upon it for 5 minutes. Read the Scripture, sit down. Give a short prayer. You know, there's nothing wrong with someone standing up and saying, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Amen. And sit down, okay? Again, it's us old folks that this is so precious and so long that we go on and on and on. But they don't have to do that. Tell our young people especially to do that. And I mentioned speaking out of a hymn, or make a comment on a hymn, or on the Scripture. But the whole point is to participate. I think there was something. Oh, there it is. And think about variety every once in a while. This isn't getting wildly, but did you ever, you know, how do you start your meeting? Does it always start with a hymn, or always start with a prayer, or always start with, you know, throw it in. You get there early, gets to be time for the meeting to start. You know, one time stand up and read a passage of Scripture. Another time stand up and pray. Another time. Yeah. And same thing with the ending. How do you end the meeting? You know, you can say, as our last hymn, let's sing this. I had a guy come to me one time, you know, I wish you guys would end with prayer. And it's kind of like, prayer, I don't have to end with prayer. The song did it. Or I forget what else. There was something else we would do. So use a little variety. Don't always get set in your ways. Okay, we have talked about this breaking of bread that they had. Let's see if we can get through the idea of prayer. The four things they talked about. We talked about the apostles' doctrine. We talked about fellowship. Sorry, I lost it. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and now we want to go to prayer. Why do we pray? Because we're talking to God, okay? Remember the disciples. What did they do? After the Lord had been up, I think, a mountain all night, they came to him and said, teach us to pray. We need to do the same thing. We need to be a people of prayer. Why is that? In theory, because we know God will do something. Sometimes our prayers are such that we do not expect God to do anything. The idea of prayer is to have God work. And then we end up getting surprised when he answers us. The Lord told us to pray. Now, when we're talking about prayer, and it says here that the church was continuing in prayer. Oh, here, before I go on. All right. Right. Okay. And that's a good point. That prayer teaches us that we need God. We don't have the ability to do all those things God can do. And we really need him in our lives and to do those things. We depend upon him. Right.
You see prayers answered, you start realizing this is something that you want to do. And it's easier to do when you do it more because it becomes a real communication. I mean, there's results. You're relying on him. Lord, I need you. You're always going to first thing you're doing, and you're in awe of him, his power, his strength. Because I don't have it. You go to him because he's reliable. I'm not reliable. He's
all right, yeah, we need him to keep that connection. I liked where you started, though, the idea that it is hard, particularly when starting. And, you know, part of that, as you were talking, it reminds me of conversations. I'm not a good or easy conversationalist. You know, there are people that can, you know, I had a son when he was in the grocery cart being pushed by his mother, go down the aisle and say, "Hi, hi. Hi, I'm not that person." Okay, he got that from his mother. Well, think about that. If you're talking about a God, if I don't know this God very well, why do I want to, you know, how do I get a conversation going with him? And so it becomes easier as you talk with him, as you see him answer your prayers, as you get a conversation going, then it becomes easier. Okay, good point. Very good point. I missed something here. Where am I at? The Lord Jesus Christ, talking about prayer, and I'm going to run these without the references, but he talks about pray for laborers in the harvest. There's a big harvest out here. We need to be praying the Lord of the harvest to bring forth laborers. He talks us to ask, believing. In other words, don't just pray because it's the official thing to do. Pray because you believe he's going to answer you. He gave a parable in Luke 18 that we should always be praying. And, of course, that leads us to the one in Thessalonians, actually in Ephesians and Colossians and Thessalonians, where the idea is we need to continue in prayer. And it mentioned in John 16:24 that you receive joy as you receive answers to those prayers. Okay. I have the reference and I have a statement. Let me look it up first. The early church considered prayer important. You notice, you go into Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And this is just after, the resurrection, the ascension. It was after the resurrection. It was after the ascension. And they came back, and it says in verse 14, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer." You see, you don't have this long list of four things they're doing. First thing they were doing, they were devoting themselves to prayer. They recognized their need for prayer. All right, so the they were praying. There's various ones. And let me see here. We can get through those. Let's look at some of the prayers. Acts chapter 4. And Acts chapter 4 is when the persecution begins. And I want you to look at something here in verse 24. Acts 4, 24. We're going to start with there and go down a few verses. And it says, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God. Now, what did they hear? Well, Peter and John, I believe it is, can't spot it fast enough, were hauled in before the Sanhedrin. And Peter basically said, well, we got to obey God rather than men. And so 23, when they had released them, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Verse 24, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why the Gentiles raged, the peoples devised futile things, the kings of the earth took their stand, the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, here we are in kind of the first prayer that's basically recorded here. They have hit a crisis in their lives. Persecution is started. Now, what I want you to look at is, what did they pray about? How did they do their prayer? What's the first thing they did?
Acclamation.
And what went with that? If you had the right kind of Bible.
They
quoted scripture. They quoted Psalm, but they quoted scripture, okay? So start out with acclamation to God, and they quoted scripture in that process. And then what do they talk about? They talked about the situation that's going on, didn't they? Okay? They reminded the Lord of, well, this is the way you've operated in history, and now we're down here to this crisis. You know, don't forget that this is where we are at. What's the how many requests they got in here? What did they request? Let's just put it that way. What did they request?
They wanted boldness.
They wanted boldness. Now think about that. This thing goes from verse 24 to verse 30. One request. The rest of it is talking about the Lord. You know, they start out with adoration. They start out, well, here's some history. This is kind of where we're at. Notice what it says there, at least mine, the way it says in 29. Take note of their threats and grant us boldness. The one request was boldness. Think about that in comparison to the meetings that we are in. What do we pray about? And I'm going to skip over. I'd like to have gone through all the different prayers of Paul, you know, in Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. What did he pray for? Well, he often was praying for those things that were spiritual, okay? In other words, he didn't just, you don't find him saying, you know, I've been praying for your aunt because of her broken arm. It's not there. He's praying for their spiritual growth, their spiritual health, that they might be good witnesses. Paul said, pray for me for boldness. Again, boldness comes out, and that I open my mouth, have opportunity. These are all spiritual things. And so I would like to encourage you to think about praying for the spiritual impact. I have been in meetings, and they're fabulous meetings because they have requests. You know, it's kind of like their current, number one, their current requests. They're not Okay, we've had this on the list for 6 months here, but would you continue to pray for, you know, it's not there. It's kind of like we met somebody down here or we met somebody over here and talked to them about the Lord. What I enjoyed one time, I remember a young girl. I mean, this is kind of like, okay, the prayer meeting is open and anybody can give us prayer requests. Here's this little girl pipes up and says, you know, there's a boy at my school has a broken arm. Could we pray for his salvation? Now that is praying, you know, okay. We're concerned about that arm, but the real concern is the spiritual impact this has. And it should be the same way, you know. My Aunt Tilda is in the hospital. Well, if she's not a Christian, she needs to face eternity. And if she is a Christian, help her to be a witness to all those nurses and everybody that comes and sees her. Okay, pray for the spiritual impact of these things. Kind of quit talking about the broken bones. The Lord can take care of that, but it's the spiritual part we want to talk about. And the daily impact of the gospel in our lives. And again, some places, I've been in one meeting where, you know, I was invited to their prayer meeting because they wanted me to come on their prayer meeting so they could pray about team workers. And so we get there, and, well, they've been out visiting in the neighborhood for an hour before that. So it's kind of like, well, we were talking to this person. We need to pray for them. And we got to talk to this person, so we need to pray for them. This is current gospel work that has to be done. Okay, so you got to have the gospel going out, or you can't do that. But think about what's going on in our lives currently that needs to be approached in prayer. What else do we pray for? Pray for those in authority. Pray for those in the church. Pray for missionaries. Hopefully you have all been aware of this book. This is Missionary Prayer Handbook put out by CMML. This year, they put one out every year. This year, there's statements like they put in 33 new missionaries that need prayer. And so it's organized by days of the month, so it's got 31 days in there. They scattered whatever it is, 700 missionaries over 31 days. And there's different ways of doing that. You can do that individually, day by day by day. You can pick it up for the chapel. I was in one place where they had taken a book like this, torn it all apart, passed out pages on Wednesday night. Here, you pray for this four or five. You pray for these four or five. You know, I passed it around. Maybe you get two or three sheets, and you prayed for them. And, you know, you might say, well, I don't know them. Well, read up on them a little bit. Get to know some of these people. You know, invite them. Find out when they're coming back and invite them to your chapel. If they're going to be in your half of the country, invite them. Missionaries love to talk about what the Lord's doing. Get to know them. And the thing I notice as I go through is, okay, here is a family. It's got six kids, 18, 17, 15, 15, must have twins, 13 and 10. Now, you know what their need is? How to raise teenagers. Pray for them as they raise teenagers. You know, you get somebody else in here, oh, they got a lot of white hair. Well, pray that they can keep going for the Lord. They'd have strength to continue on. Now, think about it. Use it. Now, what else can you pray for? Pray for the people in your assembly. As you can tell, I had tucked this in there. I tend to pray at the same time for these. Think about everybody in your assembly. In fact, I'll give you an example. In our assembly, for a while, every January, you're not doing anything else in January, we would have a week of prayer. Now, when I say a week of prayer, I mean that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, week of prayer. And somebody like me that likes to organize things went through and said, okay, here's the third of our people, or no, I'm not third. Here's a fifth of our people, and here's a fifth of our people. Okay, so on Monday night, we'd pray for A through C. And Tuesday night, we'd pray for D through F, okay? And we'd go to them, and we would say, or really hope they'd show up at the meeting, and say, what can we pray for you about? You know, and we're all sitting there thinking, well, my life's kind of normal. I don't have any broken bones this week. And so Well, what do we need to pray? What's your spiritual needs? Pray for them. And it takes something like this. Pray through the people in your chapel. No, you know, figure out who's there, who's showing up, and say, and pray for them. And then every once in a while you're going to end up going to them and say, how are things going? How are things going from the last time I talked to you? I've been praying about that. How is it going? So pray for your people. All right. And the thing about prayer, again, just like breaking of bread. Now, something I didn't put in my notes. Think about the position you pray in. One of the first churches we were in as a couple, 3 months after we were moved into a new farm community. Okay? So we sit there, which was typical, you know, we stand up and, okay, what do you got for prayer requests? Okay, well, there's this prayer request, this prayer request, this prayer request. And, all right, let's go to prayer. Suddenly, there was this rustling throughout the whole building. They all got on their knees in the pews to pray. It's the only place I've done that. All the rest of us just love to sit, okay? Just challenge it. Think about that. What position do we like to pray in? And so that's what they did. But there's a caution that goes with that. You're facing the back of that pew and your voice doesn't go very far. The little old ladies have been sitting over there. Well, Lord, I don't know what they're praying about, but I imagine it's good, so, you know. But you pray loud enough. Typically in some of our meetings, we need to stand up. Pray loud enough the people that can't hear can hear, okay? They want to pray with you. And it brings us to the idea of praying loud and don't make it too long. I found this is reading this morning, okay? I was in Ecclesiastes this morning. It's not really what Ecclesiastes said, Ecclesiastes 5, but it's more of the note that Ryrie put at the bottom. I found it just amusing. 5:3, it says, for the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. And Ryrie's comment at the bottom is, skip the first part, so also excessive words in prayer may show a lack of intelligence. I thought, wow, that's cute. That's pointed. Okay. Think about, just like you had compassion for people to bring you bread, think about how long your prayers are. You know, some people just like to, you know, I understand there's good, solid prayers, but speak up, stand up, speak up, shut up. Don't make them so long, you know. And the other objection that I have is I've been in meetings where, okay, here's our list. We write it out on a board. Here's our things. One guy gets to pray, and he's prayed through the whole list. Now, I was praying with him. What's left for me to pray about? So don't hog the whole meeting for yourself. Think about those things. And see if we can get things changed. 2 books I forgot to bring up on breaking of bread. There's this good book here. It's on your list. It's called Speak Up. This is made to encourage young men to participate. And how this is written by Mike Stevenson. And they asked him to write this book and train their young men in speaking up at the Lord's Supper. We do have that. And the other one is we go through all of these things and say, really, you think we could do some of these things? Here's this nice little pamphlet here. It's also written down there. It's called, Is It Possible to Meet as a New Testament Church Today? The obvious answer is yes, it is possible. And I give you these resources. Well, that was handy. I hope somebody got something here that worked. Here to go. Obviously, the printer grabbed more than one had done that sheet. Choice Gleanings, there are 3 different ways you can have it. The last one here, is it possible? The first line has to do with... Or you can read it online, okay? It's not formatted, it's not colored, it's not pretty. Second one is you can order this from which one? Gospel Folio. And so those are available to you as resources in case you'd like to know how to get some of these things that we have talked about. All right. Assuming there's no other comments because there's no hands in the air, we're going to close in prayer because we've just run over. Father, we do thank you that you have laid out in your word what you would have us to do as a church. Father, that you have given us examples, set them before us. You have given us instruction. Well, we would ask that you might help us to use some of these things, to take your word, have it affect us, help us to go home, to help those around us to be accurate and to be looking to you, and help us to reflect you so that you receive the glory. We'd ask in Jesus' name, amen.